much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Chapter 1, the new beginning of the book. There have been many great comebacks throughout history. Jesus was dead, but then came back as an all-powerful God zombie. Ryan O'Neal had his ups and downs, but is now back and better than ever. Well, my comeback is almost complete, and I can say that when it is complete, it will shake the pillars of this land or town. My story is the story of a raging Christ figure who tore himself off the cross and looked at the Romans with blood in his eyes and said,
"If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning."
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
My name is Maniac. By myself, I'm a happy motherfucker. Living life day to day. Doing my thing. Being happy. Doing that she loves to do. Being crazy. Being family. Being happy. Yeah, most people think I'm on drugs because I'm always happy.
Are you on drugs?
No, I'm not. I'm high on life.
And now.
Yeah, motherfucker.
Our feature presentation.
Why did she laugh by going, ha ha?
I don't know about life. I think there's other things involved.
Fill in the blank?
Yeah.
Yeah. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 18th of January.
First of all, I love her, and I want to drive across country with her.
No.
I want to be in a car with her for 6 days.
No, you don't.
I do. Mm-hmm. Listening to nothing but the insane clown posse.
You would pull over and let her out in the first 40 minutes.
Minutes? Seconds.
Yeah.
That's if you've never seen that Insane Clown Posse documentary, it's chock full of fans like that.
Yeah, it's great.
You should definitely.
What's the name? I forget what the name it is.
I don't recall.
Okay.
How's everybody?
Good.
Doing good.
Woo! Good to see Chip back in the room.
Yeah.
Hey.
How about that? She can walk.
Wow.
And everything.
Off crutches? She can sort of walk.
Yeah, she limps, but a new woman.
I'm walking adjacent.
Walking adjacent.
She dislocated her kneecap, mm-hmm. So she was out of commission for a while, but now she's back.
Knees are important, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. We have found that out.
Forgive me for not knowing this. Is that a common sports injury?
Oh, yeah. Anything impact-wise? Mm-hmm. Any, you know, football, soccer, maybe not soccer. There's not much.
How dare you?
Yeah, but he said sports.
Yeah, any kind of, you know, where you impact with people, it could happen.
Dislocating a kneecap.
Yeah, it's not fun.
You know what she found out yesterday? This is really funny. She went to her doctor yesterday because she hadn't gotten much direction from doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you do? How are you supposed to treat it? How long do I need to stay on crutches? She found she walked into the doctor's office and the doctor said, "Why are you still on crutches?"
Oh, no.
No one told me any difference. I'm like, well, I'll just have it up and, you know, just let it heal.
And
he's like, no, like the weight, your weight's good for it. I'm like, now you tell me.
And she hated the crutches. She hated it. She
but my arms are buff.
Well, welcome back, Jeff. It's good
Thank
to see you.
You.
I love space stuff, as you guys know, and I am always fascinated with the stories about the asteroids that are heading toward Earth that could potentially destroy life as we know it. I'm not smart enough to understand a lot of things about how space works. I guess it would be rare and unusual for an asteroid to hit something as tiny as the Earth, right? Like, there's not much chance of it happening.
Yes. Correct.
Although it has happened before, but there's one on the way right now that is expected to. It's over half a mile long, by the way.
Right.
Picture that.
Mm-hmm.
A giant rock hurtling through space.
But doesn't this happen all the time?
A half a mile.
Six times a year, somebody say the exact same thing. It's over half a mile. It's heading right for Earth.
And I have many questions about how do they know how big it is? Like, I don't even understand the science involved in being able to find something out in space and be able to tell us how big it is.
Allow me. Bruce Willis drills for oil.
Uh-huh.
Okay, got it.
For a living. So he puts together a team, and NASA hires him to go up and land on said asteroid.
Okay.
So that's how we know how big it is? Is it Bruce Willis landed on it and he had a tape measure?
Yes, he measured it.
Oh,
I see.
And then what they do is they drill down into the asteroid and they put a nuclear bomb in there.
Okay.
And they
just,
boom, they split it into thousands
before it hits us.
Yes.
Wow.
Well,
okay.
It's interesting you should say that, Kevin, because we will get to the point of the story where something like that is going to happen
I'm sorry.
In 2024. Yes. That's... I know that sounds like – which movie was that? Was that Deep Impact?
Armageddon.
Okay. I know that just sounds like Hollywood trickery, but in fact, we have a plan for this because
– Is it Bruce Willis?
I don't know if Mr. Willis is involved or not. So this particular asteroid that they're talking about, that they're looking at, that they're keeping an eye on, is set to pass by Earth on the 4th of February. It is over it's going to miss us by 2 million miles, okay, which seems like plenty.
That is close.
I think we're going to be fine. But that is within the range of what NASA considers asteroids to be hazardous. Those are the ones they pay particularly close attention to. Now, if an asteroid like that would hit the Earth, the temperatures around the world would fall by as much as 40 degrees. I want you to think about that for a minute.
You said 40. Is that
scientists
what you
warrant? Yes, the very severe global impact would last several years, causing the world to become a much darker, colder, and drier place. These would not be pleasant times, says Charles Bardeen of the National Center of Atmospheric Research. In a worst-case scenario, soot would remain in the atmosphere for around 10 years, while dust would take 6 years to settle back on Earth. They said currently NASA would not be able to deflect an asteroid if it were heading for Earth, but it does have a plan in place to evacuate the impact areas, moving key infrastructure. I mean, they do, and again, I don't understand the science of this, but they can tell even when it's years out where it's going to hit the Earth.
So they would size it up. Yeah, all right.
But you'd get a heads up. If you knew it was going to hit in Peru, you would say to Peru, hey, guys, better start evacuating before this date because it's coming for you.
Right.
Isn't that astonishing that they can even pinpoint that?
It is.
All right. So here's the plan. In 2024, they have their first ever mission plan to change the speed of a threatening asteroid. They're going to send a refrigerator-sized piece of equipment up there that is going to hit the asteroid and move it a little bit off of its trajectory so that it will miss the Earth. And they're testing this in 2024. It's called the Double Asteroid Redirection Test. And that's a thing that is going to be happening.
Also known as the fridge test.
I don't know why.
Let's take 1 second and just think for a second. If that was on us.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And we had to figure out how to get
a fridge-sized thing to hit an asteroid that is moving.
Yes,
we just give up, right? We just die.
Yeah, we would just climb into a hole and just wait for it to hit us, right?
Well, and you're saying just move it over a little bit,
right?
Yeah, well, I think that's just rude. If it's heading towards Peru and you're like, scoot it over to that country, whichever one's next to Peru, I don't know.
They're going to move it just enough so that it misses Earth altogether.
Oh, okay.
Well, that seems like just enough is a long ways.
Well, I mean, it is only coming 200 million, what did you say? 200 million miles?
The one we started with is 2 million miles away from Earth. It's going to miss us by 2 million miles.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you don't have to move it very much to alter the trajectory.
Got it.
But I mean this is happening. They're going to pick out, if they haven't already, pick out a specific asteroid, and they're going to have a mission where they send something into space to redirect it and make sure that works, because eventually they think that they're going to have to do that to save the planet.
I mean, I don't know how I feel about this.
You should feel very good about this. Super smart people are working on it,
but if an asteroid is heading for you, that's your time to go.
Just accept it.
Just pack it up.
But that's like saying if you're in the street and a truck is heading for you, well, I guess it's your time to go. Why not move out of the lane of travel if you can?
Well, that's because you can. That's your free will to move out of the lane of travel.
Or knock the truck out of, you know, with a fridge.
With a fridge.
Yeah, throw a fridge at it and make sure that it doesn't hit you.
One more thing. A 62-foot meter in February of 2013 exploded in the skies over Russia. The energy from that explosion, which was the equivalent to 500,000 tons of TNT, injured more than 1,000 people on the ground. So we're dealing with a really destructive thing if these asteroids come that close. I'm just saying I'm grateful that people have figured this out and are working on this. And if they can get if this test works, then that could be the answer for us, so that we don't have another, we don't kill off all the dinosaurs again.
I feel like it's just one more thing to worry about.
which Bean really is the king of.
He is.
Hey, you guys feeling good about today? Let me tell you something. You're about to die.
February 4th, guys. Kiss your ass goodbye.
February 4th. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
My issue is that we wake up to this monstrosity.
Right? Dr. Drew is on the program today. like we do on Thursdays. We also talk sports with Jim Rome. We have David Wayne coming in studio.
Oh, I love him so much.
The director of A Futile and Stupid Gesture on Netflix.
Oh, Wet Hot American Summer, good. The State, directed Role Models. He's done so much funny stuff.
A brand new internet roundup. We've got your Ducks Kings tickets, and we've also got comedian Adam Ray on the way. We will check what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
And by the way, if we haven't mentioned it yet, more tickets for Queens of the Stone Age at the Forum. You can win on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Got a couple chances for you, and then you qualify to see them at a festival in Boston with lots of other great K-Rock acts as well. Keep listening for your chance to win. It's 5:54. What's happening, Allie?
David Harbour from Stranger Things, Chief Hopper.
Love him.
Might be the coolest guy ever, especially on Twitter with his fans. Very interactive, has a great time. If you'll remember, back in October, a student up in Fresno tweeted, David Harbour, how many retweets for you to take my senior photos with me? He said 25,000. She got it later that day.
Oh, man.
But he did have this caveat. I'll take it, but I get to wear the school sweatshirt and hold a trombone. Guess what? He posted the pictures. They are amazing, unbelievable. And now it's opened up a whole Pandora's box.
See, what happens if you're nice to one person,
right?
And everybody else wants some of your time.
Now all celebrities are going to be hit up for the pictures.
100%. But this has gone a whole other level. A woman named Erica tweeted on the 15th, what would it take to get David K. Harbour to be the officiant at my wedding in September? So he wrote back, 125,000 retweets. Provided the date works for my season 3 shooting schedule, I'll get ordained and perform the ceremony. I get to read an esteemed love letter of my choosing, and after the cake is officially cut, I get the first piece. And so then people started tweeting, I'm totally into this, but how about letting the couple have the first piece of cake since it's supposed to be about them?
Right.
And he responds, I will allow the smearing of it on each other's faces, licking icing off of fingers, and all other bridegroom cake shenanigans. But the actual first whole piece is mine, damn it. Unbelievable. So, what do you think happened?
He did that and he married them and he did that?
Well, this was just a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not even 24 hours beyond 125,000. So he wrote, damn it, not even 24 hours. You're kidding me. DM me, please, to get the ball rolling. I'm making it seriously hard next time, Internet. This is not over between us. Seriously.
He's awesome.
How great is that? And you need to check out the pictures of him in this girl's senior photos.
Holding a trombone.
With the school sweatshirt on. That's amazing.
That is awesome.
What a guy.
And remember when we had him on as a guest, he was so funny.
Oh, delightful.
So delightful, yeah.
He's the best.
God damn it.
Why is he so much better than us?
So much better. Well, once NBC ousted Matt Lauer, mm-hmm. a lot of us were wondering, what about the Olympics? It's not an easy job just to kind of scooch someone in.
And he's done that for many Olympics.
Many, many Olympics. And he would do the opening ceremonies mm-hmm. with Meredith Vieira. Well, Variety is reporting that Katie Couric will co-host the Winter Olympics opening ceremony with NBC Sports' Mike Tirico. He's taking over for Bob Costas. So
okay.
All right.
That sounds all right.
That's a pretty good
I'm fine with
trade.
That.
She hasn't worked for NBC for a long time, has she?
I don't think so, no.
That's
no, she
cool.
was with Yahoo for a while. She might still be.
She did the CBS Evening News, and then she had that mm-hmm. Syndicated talk show for a while, so it's been a long time. So that's a good get to get her back.
Absolutely.
Still no love for Ann Curry?
I think Ann has seen better days at NBC, and I think maybe Ann put up a big old middle finger if NBC asked anything of her, which
right.
she wouldn't because she's a lovely, wonderful woman that has taken the high road this whole time.
Right.
Well, Matt Lauer got her fired,
yeah,
though.
He
so
did.
Now that he's
yeah.
gone, I feel like a lot of people seem to really like her, but all right.
Well, the ratings went down. That's when GMA took over in the ratings.
Oh, is that
when
right?
Ann Curry was ousted because people were like, what the heck's going on? Don't really enjoy this. And now, guess who's on top of the ratings again now that Matt Lauer's gone? It's almost like they were paying the wrong person millions and millions and millions of dollars.
It's almost like that.
So much so that it is like that.
Right. Okay.
Bean, I'm really sorry.
What now?
Some cancellations from Amazon.
Don't you dare.
Tig Notaro's One Mississippi. Jill Soloway's I Love Dick.
Who doesn't?
and Jean-Claude Van Damme's Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Who knew that was a thing?
Not me. Do you watch that, Bean?
No. I'm a big One Mississippi fan, though. Series was so funny. It had two seasons, and I'm very sad to hear that it's gone.
Well, good news. They've renewed the Tick for a second season. So you can turn your sadness about One Mississippi into happiness for Peter Serafinowicz. Because that's a lot like One Mississippi. Very similar shows.
I'm sorry. Patrick Warburton is my Tick. I can't abide.
Those fighting words.
Wow. Yeah. It's on.
It is on.
He's drawn a line
of Tick feelings, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who doesn't? Everyone saw this coming. Michael Wolff's book, Fire and Fury, Inside the Trump White House, is now being made into a TV series. Endeavor Content has picked up the film and TV rights to the bestseller. No word on casting yet, but I can only imagine the internet is doing its thing. They have it casted already.
Sure.
Casted? Mm-hmm. Whatever. Cast. Going to have a lot more news coming up, including, Will Ferrell.
Is the best.
Just cruising on out center court, Australian Open. Just pulling a little anchor, man. We'll have that coming up. But here are some birthdays for you. Dave Bautista, Jason Segel, Kevin Costner, and comedian Dave Attell. And that's what's happening.
Friday night, which is tomorrow night at Honda Center, the LA Kings are going to be in Anaheim playing against the Ducks, and we have tickets to give away right now, plus two hot dogs and two beers. If you're 21 and up, we are looking for hockey fans right now, and I think we're debuting a new feature here today, right, Kevin?
Well, we didn't realize until yesterday that Omar was such a big hockey fan.
Yeah.
DJ Omar Khan.
Yes.
He never struck me as a big sports guy before.
Very shocked by that. He knows pretty much everything about hockey. As a matter of fact, his nickname is Dr. Hockey.
I what? Had not heard that.
Yes, I had neither. It's bizarre. Wow. So we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like tickets to the fight. I mean the hockey game. Tomorrow night.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. Dr. Hockey knows everything, though, so don't bring who's in the Hall of Fame type questions.
Yeah. Get that weak stuff out of here.
Yeah, get technical.
We want rules. We want all the little intricacies of play. Make sure that you're really making it difficult because Dr. Hockey will just slap you right down. He has no time for your nonsense. Mm-hmm.
So if you're able to stump Dr. Hockey, our friend DJ Omar Khan at 1-800-520-1067, you go into the drawing and one person will win tickets to the game tomorrow night at Honda Center. So call right now.
All right, time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. You can leave a message for us 24 hours a day. The first is for Allie.
Hey, Allie, what's happening? What is happening? Allie, what is happening?
I feel you, I hear you, and I'd like to tell you, coming up at 10 minutes to the hour.
Here is another person who's pretty upset with Omar.
Kevin DeBean. How lazy is Omar? We haven't gotten a theme for what's happening with Allie. Here. What's happening with Allie? See, I did it. I did your job, Omar.
It's very jazzy.
You put about as much work into it as Omar does as well.
Right. Sure.
It's January and it's 85 degrees. What is this? Hello?
A lot of angst on the Afro line today.
We were talking about people who regularly go to the bathroom outdoors in other people's lawns, driveways, whatever. And I'm afraid this is about to happen again.
I am driving home right now, and I have the fear. I'm hitting every goddamn red light on the way home. My butthole is so clenched.
The fear.
The fear.
You don't want that.
No.
You don't want that at all.
Dude, weed is legal now, and I'm out of chips.
That's a sad little dude. From time to time, you like to burn your friends. So let's say you're at a cool show, and you know everybody else is obsessed with it, and no one else is there. Maybe you text them a little something. Hey, what are you doing tonight? I'm at so-and-so. This is Bean. Calling the Afro line, leaving a message with a real burn for all of us.
Okay.
Hey, you guys, it's Bean calling. I was just checking to see if you're at the Carly Rae Jepsen concert right now, or is it just me?
Okay, now I'd just like to point out that it isn't just Bean, so listen for his wife at the end.
Oh, wait, it's just Bean. You lose. You get nothing. Good day, sir.
And Donna Terry.
scared too.
She's consistently funnier than you are, Bean.
Well, that is true. And I will be honest when I tell you that she did not consider it a burn either.
Because no one did. Zero people thought that was a burn. This is Bean back when he sang Bastille. I think he joined the group for a few days.
Oh, so good.
Why? We try to spread them around as much as we can, but there's a lot of Bean-centric calls on the Afro line. Now, I don't know if you remember when we had Mike Shinoda in.
Sure.
And Bean said, thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming, brother.
Thanks for coming, my brother.
Mike Shinoda, thanks so much for coming, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
So then Tatiana called.
Hey, guys. This is Tatiana calling. I just wanted to let you know that I was at the grocery store today, and I heard the cashier, who was a white man, say to the guy who he was checking out, who was also a white man, he said, hey, brother, how's it going tonight? So I just wanted to let you know that Bean isn't the only out-of-touch white dude who uses the word brother to say hello to people, and it's just as awkward in person as it was over the radio.
I accept your scorn, my sister.
Dude. Oh, Bean.
You guys remember the best thing Chuck Berry ever did?
Peed on a hooker?
Well, second best then.
Farted on a hooker?
Okay. Which Bean loves.
Unnecessary.
Loves.
Hey, Bean. And you can smell my fart.
Oh, no! Sweetest voice ever.
That hurt me. All right, so Bean had his air conditioning fixed recently.
How is it me again? What's going on here?
It's all we got, man. I'm going with what we have. Bean had his air conditioning fixed or his heater. I can't remember which. And he really liked the guy. And he was asking us if he should ask the guy out to lunch.
Yeah.
Because he wants friends.
Sure.
I'm sorry. He wants a friend.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, what I was saying is there a way to do it that is not awkward? Because we've only had a professional relationship, but we spent a lot of time together over the course of a couple of days. And I feel like he's the kind of guy, he and I would be friends, but I don't know how to make that next
step. So you didn't get in touch with Brian?
I did not, no.
Okay.
Hey, guys. This is Ethan with Thompson Air Conditioning. This message is for Bean. I am an HVAC technician, and I heard about your encounter with your buddy over there. If a customer wanted to have lunch with me and I had a good time with them and had some good conversation and it flowed really nicely, I would not see it weird if they texted me and said, let's hang out, let's watch a game, let's have a beer. But don't bring your wife. That's weird, man. Like, especially if I had just separated my wife and, like, guy time is key at that point. You don't want to include a girl and things up, you know?
I'd like to suggest that you would get along a lot better with Donna than Bean.
That was a very kind and very thoughtful response from our listener, though, I thought.
Hello, this is Chris Hansen, and I'm calling about a man named Brian. I would like to talk to Gene Bean Baxter if he's available. Thank you.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning. How's it going?
Very good. Man who walked into our office yesterday and said, oh, is the Stanley Cup going on right now?
Hey,
is this the playoffs?
We're giving away tickets, right? So it's got to be good times in hockey.
Yeah. First of all, it's always good times in hockey.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Second of all,
it's not always the playoffs, though.
We're not even halfway through the season,
like,
right?
Yeah, like May, June.
I don't know.
Really. It's playoffs.
Here's what's going on. These tickets we're giving away are a hot ticket because it's Ducks versus Kings, and that is always a spirited rivalry, as you know. Honda Center tomorrow night, two hot dogs and two beers. It's a K-Rock deal, by the way, that you can get also at AnaheimDucks.com or calling 877-WILD-WING. Just ask for that, 21 and up. But we're giving them away right now. We thought we'd take advantage of Omar's newfound interest in hockey by giving you the opportunity to skate past him with a trivia question.
Hey-o!
It's time for Dr. Hockey.
I'm Dr. Hockey. Yeah, that's me. Because I love everything about hockey. I'm Dr. Hockey, and I love this game. You cannot stump me. You're going to be so lame. Dr. Hockey. Dr. Hockey. Dr. Hockey. The doctor is in, bitches.
That's right. Wow. I know it all.
hockey?
We asked our listeners to make the questions as tough as possible because of your immense knowledge of the sport.
Yeah,
so let's see
absolutely.
How we do it.
Start with Ben in Chino. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, party people. Ali.
Hey, Ben.
Good?
Thank you for calling.
What's up, Ben? What do you got for me?
What do you got for Omar?
All right, Dr. Hockey. My question to you is this. Where is it permissible on the ice to bat the puck or pass it along the ice to your teammate?
That's easy. When the power forward is in a power play and he passes it to the power bottom, because we know the power bottom could do whatever he wants.
Is that correct, Ben? That's not correct.
What? No. Are you kidding?
Only in the defensive zone.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one.
It's only in your own defensive zone. That's
I don't think so. The power bottom can do whatever he wants.
Okay. I am pretty sure there's no power bottom position in hockey, Omar.
I wish there was.
I don't think there's really a power forward either. Jasmine in West Covina, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Hello.
Good, thank you. What do you got for Dr. Hockey?
Okay, so what is done to hockey pucks before every game to prevent them from bouncing around?
Oh, that's easy. The goalie has to take it, and he rubs it in his butt crack, and he gets a little of the dingleberries on there, and then that keeps it really stable on the ice.
Oh, right. Stop.
Don't think this
Boom,
is a good
Dr.
idea.
Boom, Dr. Hockey in the house.
Please.
All right, what do they do, Jasmine?
They freeze them before the game.
All right. You hold on.
Why do they freeze them? It's already on the ice. What's wrong with these people? My plan's a lot better. It probably worked.
I don't think your plan is a lot better.
Test it out, Hockey.
Let's go to Matthew in Pacoima. Hi, Matthew.
Hi, how are you?
You're on with Dr. Hockey.
Awesome.
What's the question?
All right, who scored their first goal ever in Anaheim Ducks franchise history?
Oh, my God, this is so easy. It was Joshua Jackson. And as a bonus, he was coached by Emilio Estevez. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're confused. That was the Mighty Ducks movie, Omar. What's the real answer, Matthew?
It was Sean Hill, and it was against the Detroit Red Wings.
We're going to have to agree to disagree on this one, guys.
There's a right and a wrong.
You know, I'm pretty sure I'm right.
There's actually a right and a wrong answer for every one of these. All right, let's go.
That's a great piece of Ducks trivia right there. Well done, Matthew. You are in the drawing to win the tickets for the game tomorrow night.
Let's go to Ty in La Mirada. Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Hockey's in the house. That's what's going on.
You're on with Dr. Hockey. What do you got?
All right, Dr. Hockey, who in hockey was known as the Golden Jet?
This one's super easy. It was Brian Boitano. He was called the Golden Jet because he loved golden showers.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah. Next.
Ty, is that correct?
No, that is incorrect. It was Bobby Hull.
You know what? The guy's name was Bobby Hull?
Hull, yeah.
Bobby Hull.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
No, there was a right.
Sure,
I'm right.
Correct.
Yeah, Golden Jet, Golden Showers.
Right. Let's go.
Why are all of Omar's answers coming out of his pants?
You knew that before we started this. Let's go to Derek in Chino. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you got for Dr. Hockey?
Okay, Dr. Hockey.
Yes.
What is the move called when you're behind the net and you scoop up the puck with your stick and then immediately shoot it into the opponent's net?
Super easy. It's called the Jack move. Totally, because you got Jack, sucker.
Is it the Jack move?
Negative. What? Michigan.
Michigan, you know what? That's a lame name, so we're going to have to agree to disagree on this one, too.
Okay. Hey, let me ask Kevin and Allie and Chip, did you guys know it was called a Michigan?
I didn't.
I did not know that either.
I just called it a scoop.
I'm wondering if he made it up. That's why I asked.
Oh, it's very possible, but it doesn't matter really, right?
All right, let's do one more, shall we?
All right, Ryan in Anaheim. Hi.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. This might be a little too easy. Dr. Hockey will be insulted, but go ahead.
Yes.
All right. So what rule violation occurs when an offensive player enters the offensive zone before the puck does?
Oh, if he goes into the end zone and he's in like the 20-yard line and it's like the red thing or whatever, he cuts touchdown and he scores like 7 points instead of the normal one. Is that right?
Is that correct, Ryan?
Yeah, nope.com.
Listen.
What's the answer?
That's offside.
Offside.
Okay, we're going to have to agree to disagree on this.
No, Ryan's correct.
Have you guys ever seen a hockey game ever?
All right. Ryan and Derek and Ty and Matthew and Jasmine and Ben somehow all were able to stump Dr. Hockey, but only one will win tickets for tomorrow night's game at Honda Center for Kings Ducks, including the hot dogs, including the beer. Who's our winner, please?
Congratulations, Ben.
Yeah! Ben. Congrats, Ben.
All right. Thank you.
Enjoy the game. Thanks for playing.
The doctor is in, bitches!
LA2C's alternative rock, it's the world famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Creator of Wet Hot American Summer, writer for Children's Hospital, the state, role models. The guy does it all.
Everything we like.
Yeah, he's kind of a little bit of a comedy legend, you guys. He has an amazing new project called A Futile and Stupid Gesture, and you are going to love it, and we'll tell you all about it coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Thursday morning, 6:52. What's happening, Allie?
I'm already excited about a movie that hasn't even begun development, but it's called RuPaul's Drag Race, Drag Queens on a Plane. It's the people that developed RuPaul's Drag Race. And this movie is going to star RuPaul as the diva behind the brand new Glamazonian Airways, whose maiden flight will be packed with drag's finest. Who's in?
Did you say that's a movie?
A movie?
It is going to be a movie.
And you mean a Saturday Night Live sketch?
Nope, it's going to be a movie, like that you go and see in a theater.
It's a short you actually
see your
movie. It
is a full-length movie.
Huh. It's a web series?
What is wrong
on
with you?
Funny or Die?
Drag Queens on a Plane. Do I have to walk you through this?
I mean, apparently you do.
I don't see a movie there, but...
All right.
Bean will go. That's the one thing we know about Bean. Pretty much every movie that comes out to the theater, he's there.
He is right on it.
I can guarantee that the line, "Bitch Stole My Weave," is going to be in there somewhere.
Wow. I don't know. Mark that, because we're going to need to revisit that quite a bit. Hey, I'm really sorry, you guys, if you were looking forward to seeing The Situation on the upcoming Jersey Shore reunion. He may not be there.
Oh, what?
Yeah. He's all set to plead guilty to charges of tax fraud tomorrow.
Really?
Him and his brother are accused of not paying all the federal income tax on $8.9 million of income earned between 2010 and 2012.
First of all... They made that much money?
Disgusting, right?
Yes.
Also accused of inflating business expenses and depositing cash into multiple bank accounts to avoid reporting deposits to the IRS.
Just in case you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation. And you may not like that situation.
Yeah, he might be situated in the clink for 15 years.
He's excluded from chicken cutlet night. Did you say that one time?
Oh, God.
Remember when he was like...
No, I don't. And I'm a better person for it.
That's very true.
What is wrong with you?
That's very true.
What a situation.
Good Lord. Wimbledon.
Right?
Stuffy, right? Like, boring. Australian Open. They know how to party.
Oh, do they? All right.
And I say this because John McEnroe is doing an on-court interview with Roger Federer, and he brings out a special guest. That special guest... Will Ferrell, who immediately channeled his Anchorman character and asked really all the hard-hitting questions.
It's great to be here with two tennis legends, Roger Federer and John McIntosh. Roger, tonight you seemed like a gazelle out there on the court. Would you describe your game as a silky gazelle?
Maybe. Maybe not. I guess, don't they get eaten at the end?
Not if they're fast enough. Quick question, Roger. You're 36 years old. You seem ageless. Are you a witch or a vampire?
Which one's better?
Yeah, exactly. I don't like those.
Probably a vampire. Now, there's a rumor in the men's locker room that you love coming to play down here in Melbourne, and your secret to fitness is you only eat wombat meat. Is that true?
That is untrue.
Have you ever tasted wombat meat?
I have not. Should I?
It is delicious. The national food of Australia. Roger, I know how much this crowd means to you. They're an amazing crowd. But does it get annoying when they just scream, "Come on, Roger!" "Come on, Roger!" over and over again.
They remind me of my name. It's good at an older age if you start forgetting your own name sometimes. It's great.
I mean,
he's awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
He makes every event better.
What was he? Was he just in Australia? And he's like, "I'd like to swing on over."
Right? I don't
do
know.
Do a little something center court.
I don't know.
How did these situations arise? I don't know either.
Don't know.
So Dolores O'Riordan from the Cranberries passed away over the weekend. She was apparently working on a new version of the band's hit Zombie with the hard rock band Bad Wolves in the days just before she died. In fact, she was on her way to the studio in London when she was found dead in her hotel room. Again, cause of death still not revealed, but I mean, new music from the Cranberries.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I reject it.
I don't know that anyone likes it.
I mean,
okay.
People got to do the zombie joke, so they sure. felt good about that.
Sure, there's
those
that.
People.
There's that.
Bean, what do you think about Bon Jovi not only being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I'm
but,
very much against it.
But inducted by Howard Stern.
I mean, I guess they've been friends for a long, long time.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. I think Howard would do a great job. But I can't believe he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I can't believe it.
He's well, not just him.
He's a cowboy on a steel horse he rides.
Yeah. That is true.
Who yes. else can say that?
Yeah, just him. But it's the whole band. It's
yes,
not just John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, of course, yes.
I mean, really? No Depeche Mode.
Right, that's a ridiculous choice.
No Rage Against the Machine.
That's a ridiculous choice, yeah.
No LL Cool J? Huh? When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare at the wall. Anyone?
Sorry, being your impression again?
Yeah. Well, we won't see that or hear that. Induction ceremony happens on April 14th in Cleveland. And a memoir on the Boys. Wow, Chip.
A little
slow, but it's your first day back.
Come back.
A memoir on the Boys. Will be out this year. Mike D told Beats One that he and Ad-Rock have been working on the book since 2013, and it's finally going to be released this fall.
Cool.
I hope we can have Ad-Rock back on.
So do I.
To talk about that. And seriously, we need to revisit when he was on before, because I had just started, and Kevin was so annoyed.
Well,
Bean, you could feel him seething, and I was dying, tears rolling down my face. Chip was doubled over laughing because he was so out of control with his answers,
yeah.
not making any sense,
mm-hmm.
saying he wanted to go on the show The Walking Dead. And I said, well, what would you do? And he said, I'd bring bagels. I mean, the guy was a gem, and you well, two had no time for it.
He agreed to do an interview and had no interest in being interviewed.
Look, we have this conversation with the Beastie Boys all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, do we want to have them on?
Right.
Of course.
Yes.
They're terrible interviews. They
sabotage.
They literally sabotage an interview every time they're on. We know that going in, so we try our best to make it work in different ways, and we can never make it work.
But the joy in his
yes.
see you around.
See you around.
Oh, God, I love it so much. All right, let's get to David Wayne. Some birthdays today. Actor Jason Segel, Kevin Costner, Korn singer Jonathan Davis. Nailed it. And Dave Attell, and that's what's happening.
Oh, we've been looking forward to this one for a while, you guys. Actor, producer, writer, director David Wayne in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. His latest project is A Futile and Stupid Gesture, which releases on Netflix next Friday. How are you, David?
I sound so impressive. I do it all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you got quite a resume, my friend.
Thank you.
Done it all. It's great to have you back on the Kevin
Beach. I
brought
copies of my resume so everyone can have
one. You did? Okay.
Yeah, and my headshot in case there's anything that opens up.
David, I don't know if this was... get a little closer on that microphone.
Here I am.
There
hello.
You go.
Good morning.
I don't know if this was part of the reason you took on this project, but if your goal was to introduce people to Doug Kenny, a comedy legend whose name most of us didn't know before your movie was made, then mission accomplished, sir.
I don't think you could have said it better than me. That's exactly
okay.
right. We came across this guy, Doug Kenny, who most people not don't know his name, but he was instrumental and central to the creation of the comedy sensibility that all of us still follow.
That's weird that we know most of his work,
yeah,
but not his name at all.
Well, he wasn't a performer at all. He was a writer, but he created the National Lampoon magazine, which in turn gave birth to this whole community, which ended up becoming SNL and becoming every movie and TV show that we love has had some influence from, you know, he did Caddyshack and Animal House. And
just those two?
Yeah, just those two. Just those two Bibles that I grew up on.
So in the movie, you see he and his friends are going to Harvard, and obviously they have no interest in school at all because their lives revolve around making each other laugh. comedy is their religion. And they decide that they're going to start this magazine that they – now what? They've already been doing a version of it as a school newspaper, right?
Yeah. Well, there was the Harvard Lampoon, which was like a college activity. But they took it way bigger, and they ended up making a ton of money doing these national versions of a Playboy parody and stuff like that. And so they decided, instead of doing the normal thing after graduating Harvard, they would set out and make a national Lampoon, a national college humor magazine, basically.
And it sounded like my impression from the movie is the publishing world didn't necessarily back them.
No. It wasn't a popular idea at the time, and they convinced this one guy, Matty Simmons, who in the movie is played by Matt Walsh, to take a chance and spend a tiny bit of money to get it started, and it was an unlikely hit. And became kind of the voice of the counterculture.
Isn't it weird that a lot of stuff comes down to just one person saying, oh, I'm going to roll the dice?
All the time.
You wouldn't see a lot of the stuff that you love the most if that hadn't happened.
I mean, I could say that about so many things in my career. Certainly, yeah. You know, you go to some of the best, like Adult Swim Network is basically run by one dude who's like, I like this, let's do it, you know, and there's not a lot of layers.
Wow.
And Netflix is the same, and I think Ted Sarandos was interested in making this movie because he appreciates comedy and the history of comedy, and was like, let's try it.
Are you positive that Netflix just doesn't say yes to everything?
I can tell you firsthand, yes, I'm positive.
The thing I loved about this movie, I saw the trailer and I was in. It's like, this looks amazing.
Oh, that's great to hear.
But then when I saw it, it's a dramatic movie, but about a comedy. Instead of it being, you know, just slapstick here, there, everywhere. And the way it's told, it's so beautifully done because it harkens back to what National Lampoon was just in the storytelling.
What a compliment. That's exactly what we're going for. You know, it really is, and for the first time for me, it's a drama, but it's about funny people and about the whole notion of comedy.
Made me cry twice.
Awesome.
David, are you
I get paid every time you cry.
Well, wow. Stick around.
You're going to be rich.
You should see her at the end of every Kevin and Bean show, David.
Are you about the right age to have grown up reading the National Lampoon?
I'm a little young for that, actually. I'm about to turn 22.
Wow. You look terrible.
Thank you.
You really do.
No, just, I'm 48. So I grew up, I actually was reading Mad Magazine. For better or for worse. By the time I was old enough to appreciate the Lampoon magazine, it was a little bit past that magazine's heyday. I certainly learned to appreciate it as I became more interested in my history.
What'd you learn about Doug Kenny from making this movie that you didn't know before?
Well, everything. I mean, the guy is fascinating. His life is fascinating. And there are a lot of parallels to my own life. He's from Cleveland, Ohio, as was I. And then went to the East Coast and sought out like minds, but still kind of kept his Midwestern roots as something different. And then got together with his comedy compatriots and set out in the world to do something crazy.
He couldn't possibly be as funny in real life as Will Forte is in this movie, where almost every line out of his mouth is hilarious.
Well, I didn't know him personally, but by every account we had, he was the funniest guy in the world.
Is that right?
And you know, again, he never was on screen much, and he played Stork in Animal House, though. But he was also one of the warmest, nicest people that anyone had met, and just his brain was on fire all the time. That was what's so incredible. And he was so prolific. He would knock out 10 pages in a night, and he was a real special comedy brain.
Why didn't his dad love him?
I got to talk to him and ask.
We don't exactly have access.
Yeah. I'd like to talk to his dad if he's still around.
Yeah, he had a lot of issues.
Yeah.
A lot of family. Yeah. Not a functional family situation.
Now, you've had a lot of you've worked on so many comedy projects over the years. Like you mentioned, Adult Swim, you know, with the Children's Hospital and your Wet Hot American Summer and going back to the state and Role Models and all the other stuff that you've done. So you have a lot of funny friends that probably love working with you. But this cast is crazy.
It's insane. It's an amazing
talk production. About some of the folks that are in it, and I think people are going to be amazed.
Well, it's led by Will Forte, who plays the in really difficult and amazing role of Doug Kenny, and he brings this combination of real dramatic chops and knowing how to be funny every second all at the same time, and so charming.
And those sideburns, though.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the kind of the second lead is this guy is Donald Gleason, who you probably know from Star Wars and a million other movies, and you barely recognize him here. And he gives the most amazing, you know, this is like a real, genuine actor who I've it's so exciting to work with.
I stopped the movie because I was like, who the heck is this? It was killing me. And I looked him up and I was like, oh, that's General Hux.
Right.
Oh my God, no idea.
You would never know it though, because he's a real chameleon. And then we have just like the superstars of the comedy world. We have Joel McHale and we have Natasha Lyonne and Joel Atrullio's in it and Matt Walsh and Emmy Rossum and Jackie Tone, Thomas Lennon playing Michael O'Donohue. Seth Green, John Gimmerling, Jackie Tone. It goes on and on. And it was truly surreal. We did this one scene at the very end of the film that happens, and the entire cast is all in one room, and I'm just like overwhelmed with the power. And everyone had a blast doing it, and it was really cool to have this combination of our community today all coming together to pay homage and make, you know, chronicle the community from a generation ago.
When you have that many funny people in one room, is it difficult for you to direct, because you're basically telling a whole bunch of legends that have done a whole bunch of stuff how to do stuff? Or are they
everyone's in on the combined effort, and everyone's pros, and that's what was so nice. There was nobody was on this set was having ego issues, and I try to create a group of people that are psyched to do the job, and that's one of the director's jobs on a set, is to set the tone.
All right, I want to ask one more question about the casting before we take a break. Our guest is David Wayne here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about his new film, A Futile and Stupid Gesture, which debuts on Netflix next Friday the 26th. Joel McHale as Chevy Chase is a little bit of an inside joke or not, that they starred together on Community and we heard so much about them, Buttonheads.
I don't know if you call it inside joke, but to me it lends such veracity to the performance, because you know the guy, he knows the guy.
He does know him well, yeah.
But Joel McHale is brilliant, because he's channeling the Chevy Chase from the late 60s, early 70s, that is not the Chevy Chase that he knew.
Right.
Exactly, but wow, does he come, you know, I know Joel as Joel, and then suddenly the camera's rolling and it's Chevy. It's really amazing watching him do that.
Yeah, it's a anyone who loves comedy is going to love this movie. When you see people playing John Belushi and playing Harold Ramis and playing Chevy Chase and playing Gilda Radner, I mean, it's like going back in time.
Yeah.
It really is. All right, quick break. More with our guest David Wayne when we return right after this on K-Rock. Congratulations to Nicole Cooper from Norwalk. Thank you for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show this morning. You just won yourself some tickets to go see Queens of the Stone Age at the Forum on February 17th, and you qualify to see the band at Boston Calling Memorial Day weekend. Hey, David Wayne is here. You're a big music fan, right?
Who doesn't like music, right?
Listen to this. Listen to this Boston Calling Festival. The Killers, Paramore, Jack White, Eminem, Portugal the Man, St. Vincent, Royal Blood, and many, many more. How about that?
Where do I get a ticket for this?
Nicole is qualified. She won her Queens tickets locally, and the grand prize drawing will be Monday morning here on the Kevin
Bean
Show.
Nicole Cooper wants to call in and take you, I guess
Nicole is lucky.
She is. David Wayne, director, actor, producer, writer on the Kevin Bean Show right now, talking about A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
Can I just ask, though, if I'm not Nicole, I didn't win these tickets. Is there some way I, as a civilian, can order? Is there a website? Is there something? Is there an 800 number, a toll-free call I can make?
I think you can Google Boston Calling and find the answer to all those questions.
All right, so I got to get myself a home computer then, I guess.
Yes. All right. They're very affordable now, David.
All right.
Thanks for doing our job for us. That really is helpful.
All right, here we are, K-Rock 106.7 and...
Let him go. Let him go. Take me back to the story of Animal House, one of the, in my opinion, five funniest movies ever made.
Easily.
How unlikely was it that that film would be made?
Well, you know, they were doing pretty good with the Lampoon magazine at the time, and had come out with this yearbook, a fake yearbook that made fun of the previous generation and the mores, and how every school yearbook is the same. And it was a huge hit and everyone loved it. And we showed this in the movie. They were batting around ideas to, like, let's make the first National Lampoon movie. And Doug Kenny was so driven by it because he was so bitter that they had stolen a lot of his talent pool and taken them to Saturday Night Live. And he always needed to be the king of his hill. So he really wanted to, he decided he needed to leapfrog and make a movie and make the greatest movie of all time. And they pitched a lot of ideas around, and then they realized that a lot of the most popular material in the magazine was these stories about the fraternity houses. And they got together with Chris Miller and Harold Ramis, and they sat down and just brain dumped everything they could think of about college and all the stories that anyone had remembered and all the characters. And they just put it into this gigantic treatment, which I actually have a copy of. It's an amazing documentary.
Wow.
Yeah. And we show this all in the movie. The studio read the treatment and was like, what the heck is this? No way. You know, and then they charged them so much. Basically, Maddie Simmons is like, we can do it for $2 million, some tiny amount of money at the time. And they were like, all right, whatever. And so they shot this movie super under the radar in Oregon. And out of nowhere, just like the magazine, it became this massive, iconic hit that still resonates to this day.
And Belushi was the only name in the film at the time, right?
Yeah. They actually wrote the parts for a lot of, you know, they wrote for Dan Aykroyd and other people, and nobody could do it or wanted to do it.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. They got Belushi. Yeah, and he was the big name by far. And everyone else was no names.
And it became, for a while, the most successful comedy movie of all time.
Yeah. So Ghostbusters, right?
Something I don't know. Maybe you know.
Listen, I know.
No, it was a massive, massive hit, and they didn't have any idea what they had until it came out.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy that they made it that well, not knowing really.
I know for my money, I watched it 1,000 times as a kid,
yeah.
And I drank in every detail and put it in my bloodstream.
But it almost set him up to fail in his own mind, because then he thought, "How am I going to top this?" And he writes Caddyshack, which to me is one of the best movies ever.
Right.
And he hated it.
Well, that was part of his mentality. He was always about, how am I going to top this?
Yeah.
I always have to do better. And so that's a losing strategy in the long-term life plan. And so it just didn't work for him. But yeah, and Caddyshack didn't get the same kind of immediate response. Mm-hmm. And he just felt like he was going to be missing, not no longer the zeitgeist. And he saw the movie Airplane and he was like, those are the guys now, not me anymore. And he had no idea that Caddyshack 2 would become this classic that people recite from beginning to end in 2018.
Yeah.
I mean, why was Caddyshack not immediately received as well?
I mean, if you look at it, Caddyshack is a little bit shaggier. It's got some sloppier edges to it, but
because he was doing more blow by the time that movie came around.
Everyone was doing blow on that movie.
Yeah, I mean, it was a real mess when they made it. But also, that's just the way. I mean, I know from my own experience, most of the things I've ever done are not appreciated at all when they first come out, and then sometimes, like Wet Hot American Summer, it took years before the world seemed to catch up to saying, "Oh, this is something that has some lasting value to it." And so
is that weird, being in that position where you made it and then it didn't get the response that you probably hoped, and then all of a sudden years later they're like, hey, let's do another one?
Yeah, but I would not say all of a sudden. But yeah, well, certainly making that movie, that was our first movie, and when it came out it was such a it tanked so hard, both with critics and with audiences, that I figured, all right, well, maybe I won't make another movie.
I'm done in this business.
And I didn't for a while, but it was that amazing thing that, who knew, a slow burn starting about 2 years later and then building every year since then. It's become this accepted classic, you know.
Sure. Well, partly because your casting was so brilliant and so many of those actors went on to do other great things that, hey, here's an opportunity to see them all together again, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, before we run out of time with David Wayman again, A Futile and Stupid Gesture is available on Netflix next Friday. Spoiler alert, things don't end well for Doug Kenny. Is there actually controversy about his death?
Well, I just don't think anyone knows exactly what happened. He I don't want to spoil too much, but he fell off a cliff.
What part about that is not spoiling too much?
I don't know. Maybe people turn off the radio before I got the sentence out.
I don't want to spoil it, but here's the ending.
But nobody was there, and no one knows exactly what happened. And so...
speculation.
Yeah. I think, you know, he either accidentally fell off or he purposely fell off. That's the debate.
have a lot of the people who are portrayed in the film, a lot of the real life people, have they seen the movie? Have you gotten good feedback from them, David?
Not yet. I mean, we're just still getting it completely finished to debut next week at Sundance.
And oh, then, I like it. You're your last minute guy.
And then it'll be on Netflix on Friday the 26th.
Fantastic. Every once in a while, a project will come along and we'll say, we know the Kevin and Bean audience and we know this is something they will love. And if you're a fan of comedy, as we all are, please check it out. A Futile and Stupid Gesture on Netflix, as David mentioned, Friday, January 26th. Always fun to have you on the show. We really appreciate you stopping by.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Some sorcery just happened.
You guys.
David Wayne was here.
That was pretty cool.
And
can't get into it. We don't have time to get into it. At some point, we got to talk about it.
I'm not a big Magic fan, but that was impressive.
He turned you.
That was impressive.
You love Magic now.
I think he is a witch and needs to be burned. That's what I think. Hey, guys. Great batch of videos in this week's Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Wake up. And watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer in studio. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Nice batch of videos at krec.com or kevinandbean.com.
Love them.
This family is at a park or something, and somehow a couple of bears end up in their friend Steve's car. Now, this sounds like a joke, but they are in a car, and there's another car right next to them that has bears in it.
One bear. The other bears
two
behind.
Bears.
The other bears
two bears,
behind.
Dave.
Oh, let's argue
two
about
bears,
this.
One cup.
Dave, no, if you watch the video, there are two cubs in this car, and there's a mama bear just a few feet away. So this sounds like a math puzzle, but they're trying to figure out how to open their door so that they can reach out and open the door on the other car to let the bears out of their friend Steve's car. How did they get into that situation? None of the windows are down on the car. How did the bears get in there?
You know, bears can open doors. That's why they have you lock trash cans,
coolers,
they raise it.
Tents,
because
anything.
They know how to open things.
Yeah, they have opposable thumbs.
You know what? Ish. I didn't think of that, but that's really impressive.
No, you know what? I'll bet Steve left his door open, though. That's my guess.
But the bear opened the door. Got the handle, went click, and put the keys in the car.
Did he drive?
Try to start it. No.
Not that impressive, then.
We got a couple of oddest trailers that you'll want to enjoy and some really, really fun stuff, including some guys who put his friends in a car and they die. They basically just drive it into a lake on purpose. Like, yep. What's that dude's deal? What's he got going on? First, though, we do have some audio for you. Everybody at some point growing up probably played the recorder, right? That's the simplest instrument in the world to play. That's what you play if you're four, right?
Yeah.
You blow into the recorder, and it's a god-awful sound.
It's not pleasant.
It's not fun to listen to.
No.
But here's a young YouTuber who has figured out a great use for the recorder, and that is he has played along with all your favorite rap hits, and it goes a little something like this. How does somebody come up with this idea?
Listen, recorder boy. Just wait
till recorder boy.
Yeah, just wait till Kazoo Dave makes his rock and roll video.
Oh, Kazoo.
Yeah.
Oh. No one needs that.
Kazoo Dave.
Kazoo Dave for the win. All right, here's one for you, Allie. You love all things Star Wars.
I do.
Somebody has figured out a way, and again, this is in the category of why would somebody ever even think about this, but it's actually very impressive. He's writing on a piece of paper, and the sound his pencil makes is now playing out the Imperial March from Star Wars. I'm not even kidding. Check it out. Somebody ever even realize they could do that?
I mean, that's less impressive.
Yeah.
His timing's a little off, but I'll give it to him.
He's playing Imperial March on a pencil.
Right, that's my point.
May I interest you in another YouTuber with a bank of calculators in front of him, and he is using them to play the Game of Thrones theme. Calculators aren't a musical instrument, right?
Now, this dude's a G.
What's happening here?
I don't know.
I don't know either. And finally, Dave, you love the Gucci Gang song, right?
Love? No. I used it.
Sure.
I would say I love it.
That's what you used for your Clipper parody song.
Yes.
Well, here's a guy who probably never wants to hear the Gucci Gang song again. He decided he was going to raise some money for that wonderful Red Nose Day charity. What are they? They're a charity for kids, right? They
yes.
raise money for underprivileged kids, right?
Yes.
The way he decided to do it, though, was by saying Gucci Gang a million times.
Literally.
Yes. It took 15 days. He would wake up every morning, sit in front of his computer, and live stream hour after hour after hour of him saying Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
And
people would donate money to him as he continued to do it. And he raised over, how much? Was it over $10,000, right?
Yeah,
something like over that. Over 10 grand. So here's a piece of him Gucci Ganging it up.
Gucci Gang, 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 Gucci Gang,
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, How do you have the stamina to do this hour after hour after hour, day after day after day? How long could you do this, Kevin?
30 seconds?
Yeah.
I think.
By the way, he's just saying ganga 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 ganga.
He's not being.
He's not even trying anymore.
Why are you pooping on the kid? Come on.
He's raising money for charity.
How much can I donate to stop this?
Allie, you need to listen to all million times. I'm sorry.
I'm more impressed with the million clicks.
Because
that's more
he's
impressive.
Keeping track of
yes.
how many times he says Gucci Gang.
Yes.
Really?
Click, 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 click. Dude, that's tough.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to do that for over 2 weeks every day, all day.
No, that's insane.
Anyway, great batch of videos. Check them out right now at krock.com or kevinabean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
I'm just going to say Tom Brady is faking that injury to psych out the Jags. That's my theory. What do you think, Allie?
Belichick has a way of getting into opponents' heads. I wouldn't put it past him. But apparently he did run into another player during practice yesterday.
Yeah. Well.
And then was not available to the media
because
he was with the medical staff.
At least he's got Jimmy Garoppolo as his backup, though, right?
How dare you.
And by medical staff, you mean Colt.
Well, I think it was actually the Patriots medical staff, not the guy that won't let him eat heirloom tomatoes.
We'll discuss that and so much more in sports with our friend Jim Rome from CBS Sports coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie's here. It's 7:53. What's happening?
I did not expect to see this headline yesterday. Squirrel Nut Zippers announced first new studio album in 18 years.
Yes!
Woo! Right? Beasts of Burgundy is a 12-track album. It's going to embrace the spirit of New Orleans and bring us back to the band's signature sound. It is due out March 23rd. They're saying it's not a reunion. It's a revival. Right?
Right.
You want to listen to one of the tracks?
Sure.
I do. How about Carnival Joe from Kokomo?
How the people come both near and far to see the humunculus in the job. Oh.
You guys,
I
dig it.
I'm a fan of the Squirrel Nut Zippers, by the way.
I think they're fun. I think there's a time and a place.
I'm not mad at this this at all.
Okay. Kevin?
I mean, it's all right.
Didn't they play like one of the first Weenie Roasts with Oasis and
I believe they did,
the
yeah.
Cure,
I think they did.
Yeah. Blur, Radiohead.
Sure.
The only thing I'll say, though, and this is a warning, if we let the Squirrel Nut Zippers back in, then we also have to accept the Cherry Pop and Daddies if they want to come back.
I mean, I'm all right with that.
Aren't we willing to go that far?
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
So did we just
have
rule
rules.
On something?
Absolutely.
We did. We will allow it.
Who carries that out then now?
Is there someone writing stuff down? Don't sweat the details,
down?
Kevin. Okay. It's all just, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just out there in the
back
universe.
To you.
Well, yesterday I told the story of Ellen Pompeo getting her huge deal for 2 more years with Grey's Anatomy. She's going to be pulling in $20 million per year after she renewed that contract.
I mean, all right.
Not bad. Highest paid dramatic actress on TV. But now I pose this question to you. The top 10 highest paid TV actresses, and this is also going to figure in not only their pay from TV, but any deals that they have outside of television. So various endorsements. Let's have the top 10.
The first name that comes to mind for me is Miss Colby Smulders.
Not in the top 10.
That's a good guess.
She's Big Bang Theory, right?
No, yes. She is not.
What? She's How I Met Your Mother, right?
Yes, she is.
Okay, not in the list, though.
Are you thinking a different woman from Big Bang Theory?
Because is she in the list?
Her?
Maybe I am.
Are you thinking of Kaley Cuoco?
How about Kaylee Cuoco?
Yeah,
is she on the list?
She's number two with $26 million.
That would have been a way better guess, you know, since that show is still on the air.
Right, right. Becky with the good hair?
Right.
Becky is not on the list.
Should be. It's Kat.
Kat should be.
Adele Dazeem.
Not on TV.
Okay. Peggy Noonan.
No, I believe she's just writing.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Nope.
Demi Lovato.
No, these are TV actresses, guys. TV actresses.
Pam Anderson?
Pam Anderson is not on
not
the list.
Not on TV. Okay.
No. Bean?
Lady Gaga!
Lady Gaga not on the list.
How about
Kim Jong-un, the hereditary spoiled brat demon chipmunk?
Again, dictator and not a TV actress.
Pablo the dinosaur.
Pablo the dinosaur, nor Count Smokula. Again, top 10 highest paid TV actresses.
TV actresses.
All right. I'm going to get serious now and say Gillian Anderson from The X-Files.
No.
Farrah Abramson?
No.
How about Megan Boone from The Blacklist?
Are you kidding me?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of popular actresses on television shows.
How are you missing the number one person? She's always the highest paid. Modern Family.
Oh, Sofia Vergara.
Yes, Sofia Vergara, number one at 41.5 million.
Okay.
Julie Bowen also on the list at number six.
That makes sense, sure.
Let's go through the top ten.
Did we get any of them except two?
No.
All right.
And did you really get two?
I mean, I'm taking credit for two.
All right, top ten. Number 10, Polly Perrette, 8.5 million. Followed by Robin Wright with $9 million. Priyanka Chopra, $10 million. Kerry Washington, it is handled.
What's wrong
with
us?
$11 million.
We're so stupid.
Julie Bowen, $12 million. Mariska Hargitay, right?
Sure.
Gong, gong. Yeah. That's my end of the long order thing. Gong, gong.
We're bad.
$12.5 million. Mindy Kaling, $13 million. Nice.
Good for her.
Ellen Pompeo. Tied with her with $13 million. And then Kaley Cuoco and Sofia Vergara. You guys were awful.
We were not good
terrible.
There.
Yeah,
terrible.
That wasn't
not
wasn't,
acceptable.
Wasn't good
not
at
up
all.
To our normal high standards.
Exactly. You know this Zumba deal.
Yes.
People love Zumba.
They do.
Like, it's a cult.
Yes, it is.
People love Zumba.
Mm-hmm.
What if you're in a class in L.A. and all of a sudden a new instructor walks in and you realize, wait a minute. That's Jason Derulo. Jason Derulo popped in to a Los Angeles Zumba class and taught a few routines. What?
Is that right?
That's amazing.
That's bizarre.
Apparently, the crowd went crazy, but here's my favorite quote from one enthusiast. Quote, body rolls had me on another planet. All right. So there's a future if the whole music thing doesn't work out for Jason Derulo. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about how Apple, them coming on to the whole original scene, like the Netflix and the Hulu and Amazon, is changing the landscape of how much people are getting paid. Because Apple is doling out some money.
Is that right?
And people on some other networks, Hulu, Netflix, HBO, are like, I want to get paid. So we're going to talk about that coming up. Some birthdays for you. Actor Jason Segel, Kevin Costner, comic Dave Attell, Dave Bautista, and Jonathan Davis. Lead singer of Korn. He has
Not sounding good.
Dropped off quite a bit. And that's what's happening.
There are a lot of ways to hear our friend Jim Rome. You can listen to him on the radio if he's on in your town. You can stream him through jimrome.com. You can also watch him on the CBS Sports Network as well. And he joins us about this time every week on the Kevin Bean Show as well. Mr. Rome, how are you, sir?
Kevin, Bean, Allie, not you, Sanchez. What's up? What's up, everybody?
Look, we got a lot of ground to cover today. What's most important to you? What do you want to start with, Jim?
God, what a great question. You've got the NFC Championship game. You have the AFC Championship game. You have guys in the NBA throwing down every single night. And I've got people on my show that are getting ink, show-related ink. I could start anywhere. It's all good.
All right, let's start with that. Is that a compliment to you, or do you worry about the mental acuity of your fans if they're going to put your name on their body?
Yes. You know, it's all pretty surreal. Like, I don't know what's more surreal. Dudes still getting show ink after I've been on the air for like 30 years.
Right.
Or my executive producer chasing that by getting ink of his cat. Wait, I can answer that. A 20-something dude getting ink of my show is surreal. A 30-something dude getting ink of his cat is just whack. Adam Hawk is walking around this town with a tattoo of his cat on his arm. Not his wife, not his little girl, his freaking cat. Weird.
I support Adam completely. And by the way, that's a good-looking tattoo. He did a nice job with that.
Come on, man. Really?
Yes. Look,
dude, a cat.
He loves his cat. His cat is not going to let him down or break his heart.
This cat's going to die soon, though.
The cat will never die. The cat will always be right there on his arm.
Yeah. See? Maybe exactly. That's...
So isn't that the thing? So the next question is, why would he do that? The same reason anybody does anything. Because they can, or because he's lame, or because he's the ultimate look-at-me guy.
Sure.
Or maybe he really, really likes that cat. Like, guys, how many Kevin and Bean tats are out there that you know of?
There's a few, but we actively discourage people from doing it. We do not want to be responsible for that horrible decision that somebody chooses to make.
I'd like to go the other way. I think it's a great idea.
No, it's a terrible idea.
Why? What's wrong with it? I think it's great.
I'll tell you what's wrong with it. It's because 10 years from now, nobody will know what the hell Kevin Bean was, and he'll have to explain for the rest of his life. You see, there used to be this radio show that I used to listen to. It's just, it's gonna be
awful
for him.
And that's a bad thing?
But how does that hurt? How does that
hurt us?
Thing,
right?
Because,
that's his thing.
That's on him.
That's on him.
You don't want your fan to have that terrible experience. That's
yes, you
why.
Do. Yes, you do. Come on, that's their decision. They're grown ass men. They made up their mind. I like it.
They can live with their choices.
Well, let's move on to some very intriguing matchups in the NFL this weekend, Jim. What do you make of what happened with Mr. Brady this week? He's hurt. He can't speak to the media. Is this all just the hoodie once again playing games? What's happening?
See, that the Patriot fans would love to believe that, but the fact of the matter is, a teammate accidentally ran into Tom Brady at practice and jammed his throwing hand. Now, you talk about friendly fire. How would you like to be the tool who smashed into his own quarterback and might cost him a shot at the Super Bowl? Needless to say, they're not saying who it was. So luckily, the x-rays came back negative. This guy probably napped it out in his recovery pajamas last night, smeared his avocado ice cream all over it, and he's miraculously recovered. I don't know, Allie, how are you feeling about that?
I mean, listen.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, Jim. It's nothing. It's nothing.
How do you know it's nothing?
That's the thing. It's nothing because if it was something, we wouldn't have heard about it.
Interesting.
Conspiracy. The thing is, though, I see what you do, but we would have heard about it because he missed his media session.
Right.
There was a reason why he missed his media session, and they had to say what it was.
Well, they could have said, listen, he mistakenly ate an heirloom tomato. Isn't sitting well in his stomach. Tom will be back tomorrow.
They could have, but then what if he misses practice the next day? Was it another heirloom tomato?
The truth is out there.
The cover-up is always worse than the crime.
Patriots, Jim, are a 9-point favorite, last I heard. Does that sound about right to you, or do you think it will be a blowout?
I think that what's going to happen is this is not a good thing for them either because the Jacksonville Jaguars are going in there with all this premium fuel. Nobody respected them against Pittsburgh. We know Pittsburgh didn't.
True.
And then they punked them again. I'm telling you, you better not sleep on these guys.
Mm-mm.
They're nasty. They're running on that fuel. I mean, maybe it's 9 points because they're the Jags, but if you took those uniforms off and you put them in a more respected franchise's uniform, I don't think it's 9 points. I would be very careful. You know where they're from, don't you? Duval County. Duval! They're feeling it. They're feeling it.
Do you think there's such a thing as the Patriots have been there and they've won it and they've been there and they've won it, so they don't take it quite as seriously as a team like the Jaguars would?
No, that's one thing I don't ever concern myself with. These guys, they're maniacal like that. Belichick, Brady, they're all about the process. They've been there before, but they're hungry. I would never, ever think that they would overlook anybody like the Steelers did. The Steelers were openly talking about the Patriots, and sure, that got under the Jacksonville Jaguars' skin.
Yep.
So, no, I'm not worried about that. They're not complacent. I'd be more concerned about Allie's dude having a jammed hand.
Well, right, we've got a great back.
Oh, you don't. That's why we developed this guy, Jimmy Brian Hoyer. Allie, all right. Brian
it's
Hoyer.
It's the worst move in Patriots history. I hate it so much.
It's a bad move. It's a bad move.
Let's NFC it up for a minute. Vikings are on such a high after the way that Saints game ended yesterday. They got to be feeling pretty good about going in against Nick Foles and the Eagles, right?
All right, so for those who didn't see it, the Saints did end that game on that walk-off 61-yard TD pass. So they look like a team of destiny, but beating the Saints at home is not the same as dealing with the Eagles in Philadelphia. Because Eagle fan is a different breed of cat altogether. You've got 53 Vikes who have to deal with 70,000 fueled up maniacs rocking dog masks who have waited their entire lives for this moment. Have you seen this?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of guys came off the field saying they're playing up this underdog thing, so they wore a couple of dog masks. Now all of Philadelphia is scrambling to get these German shepherd heads, and they're all going to show up like some Purge movie. Can you imagine 70,000 drunks in German shepherd heads? Scary stuff. And good luck IDing them. Can you imagine that? Like, isn't that why at raves you're not allowed to wear a mask? Hey, Sanchez, jump in on this. You know about stuff
He's
like this.
He's not in here, but yes, you're correct.
Okay.
We always kick him out.
Yeah, well, the reason you can't do that is they want to ID you when you do something dumb.
Right.
70,000 drunk people in dog masks? Count me in.
Yeah. And by the way, whichever Eagles fan steps outside the stadium and punches a police horse in the face like a guy did last weekend, dude, you're right. You don't want him on a mask.
Can I tell you? And that was after they won, and that guy wasn't wearing a mask.
Right.
So yeah, what's going to happen when they are wearing masks?
Exactly.
Pretty much anything they want.
All right. Our final minute with the great Jim Rome here on the Kevin DeBede Show on K-Rock. Fighting in the NBA has been taken to a new level lately. I mean, it's people are throwing punches, and the Chris Paul story with the Rockets in town for the Clippers was a whole nother level. What do you make of all this, Jim?
God, that was so weird. Like, normally in the NBA, when guys fight, they're just a bunch of guys mean mugging each other,
right,
but they really have no intention of throwing down. In other words, fake fights. Until Aaron Aflalo, you might remember that name, he played for UCLA.
Right.
He squared up Tuesday night, and that was not fake. That was a legit fight. Now, not a very good fight, but he threw this huge haymaker that if that connects, Home Slice is still asleep right now. So it's pretty funny to see dudes who are not skilled fighters acting like they want to go when you know they don't. But these dudes are so huge. One of these days, one of them is going to land one of these shots and somebody's going to end up with a broken face or in a pine box. And then that won't be funny.
Yeah. Picture though the Rockets running through the hallways. And
that's funny. That's funny.
It's nuts.
That is funny. First of all, I didn't even know there were like secret passageways in Staples.
I didn't either.
But apparently there are, and you can use them to get into the other locker room. And
I
they
love
did.
It.
Hey, to our listeners, if you have a tattoo of your pet, please tweet it to Jim Rome, at Jim Rome. You can listen to the program today for 3 full hours at jimrome.com. You can watch them on the CBS Sports Network. And don't forget, new episodes of the Jim Rome Podcast drop every Tuesday, available at iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great week, sir. We'll do it again next time. Thanks.
You too, fam. See ya.
Thank you.
When he was a young and struggling comedian and he needed us, he was always on time. But now that he's a big
when
star,
he was.
Adam Ray just goodness. Comes in whenever the hell he feels like.
Look,
it.
Let me just, okay, first of all, sorry, but if my dwarf was going to give me a ride like he told me he would.
Oh, no.
Your dwarf didn't give you a ride?
Yeah.
Oh, Brad. I said, well,
what's the point of having a dwarf?
Is that because you're
thank you.
Is that yeah. because your dwarf is married?
Yeah.
Oh,
he's married. He's too busy to take me on his, what's
now
it
why?
It's a cookie train or something. It's, yeah.
Why did you need a ride?
So my girlfriend has my car.
Your who? Oh.
My girlfriend.
Your girlfriend.
Yeah. I got a girlfriend.
Having the sex.
First one since sixth grade.
Did you know she was taking your car, or was it an unpleasant surprise?
No, it was an unpleasant surprise.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
So then I had to Uber, which, by the way, I don't know if you've ever tried to really press your Uber on, like, your own time. But there was a moment where there was a yellow light coming through, and I would have made it had he rushed the yellow light.
Right. Mm-hmm. And if you were driving, you would have made it.
For sure, I would have pressed my luck. Uh-huh. And he slowed down right before, and he had a chance. There was a good second where it was like, you go now, and we're there. And I'm there for the first commercial break. And he doesn't press through. And I literally just in the back just go, and the car is so quiet that he heard it. And then he turns around and gives me like a half look. And then he looks back forward and we're seeing the light. And he just goes, I'm not going to die for you, man.
No!
Whoa!
Yep.
And that guess escalated
what?
Quickly.
And guess what? Left the radio on in his car because I was listening to you guys. I hope it's still on. And guess what, dude? Not 5 stars. If you're going to die for me, 5 stars. That's how I rate Ubers.
Less than that.
Yeah.
Power down. All right.
Dude, I've taken Uber Black before, and these guys, when they to get to the airport, and they have this motto. They don't say it. It's just kind of an unspoken thing because of the way they drive. I've gotten in sometimes, been in Hollywood, needing to get to LAX in like, I'm like, dude, the plane leaves in 45. I got to get there in 20. And the guy's like, I've got you, my friend. And then we take off. And some of the cuts and corners they take, I'm like, I didn't even know this part of Los Angeles existed.
Yeah.
I think it only exists for Uber drivers that want to, you know, risk it all.
Sure.
And they have this.
They should have a risk it all category that you can order.
Yes. And that's a category. Uber Pool, Uber X, and
Uber Black, and then Uber Risk It All.
Yeah. And he's pulling up, and I was like, this guy, like, would have been fine if we had pulled up to the curbside check-in and my body had flown through the windshield. Mm-hmm. I know he still would have brought my bags out and been like, we made it, you know. We might be dead, but we made it, you know. So I'm sorry.
No problem. By the way, I know we have no timer. We're going to have to take a break and come back more with
Adam Ray.
But I wanted to ask, now since the last time you were in
– Yeah.
You played an Uber driver on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I did.
And it was so awesome to see you on that. I know you had tipped us off that you were going to be on.
I know. And
one of the greatest moments of your life, being able to improv with Larry David?
Look, probably the greatest moment. There's some career highlights, right? Getting to motorboat Sandra Bullock, getting to play the Cowardly Lion in the Lake Forest Park elementary school production of The Wizard of Oz.
Sure.
Because I was
those
the
two are comparable.
How do you beat that?
Well, just because I was a fat kid playing the lion and, like, oozing out of my suit, and it was the first time that the lion went to Oz and asked for ice cream cake instead of courage. But, and true story.
Being Ghostbusters.
Being Ghostbusters, yeah. Curb is my favorite show, so it was just to even sit in, like, a fake car with him and just, I mean, and he's so cool and he's so good, and the one bummer about it is that, like, I'm very pumped that I was in the show, obviously, and getting that much screen time. But, you know, we shot so many takes, and we built a classic Curb fight, which is like what you want. You like want that like fight with Larry,
right?
And I think because the other Uber driver had so many of those, they couldn't have two of them, so they had me kind of. But obviously, everything we still said was all improvised, so they kept a couple jokes in there. But
well, congratulations,
thanks,
it was awesome.
Buddy.
And by the way, I loved this season of Curb. I loved it.
Well, I think that's why they're doing another one. I think
they're so happy about that.
Like they hit it on the head.
All right, Adam Ray is here. A lot more to talk about. He'll be appearing live and on stage at Levity Live in Oxnard, doing 6 big shows. Oxnard,
yeah,
check
baby.
This out. Starting tonight, then 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and then Sunday night. Go to AdamRayComedy.com. Tickets just $20. More with Adam right after this on K-Rock. Actor, comedian Adam Ray in studio with us now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Also the co-host of the very popular About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams, available on iTunes as well. Aren't you too busy to be doing a podcast with Brad anymore, Adam?
I mean, I think he's too married to be doing a podcast with me.
Oh, I sense some tension. That's the second time that's come up.
No, it's we have scaled back a little bit, but we put in too much time and energy, and it's still so fun. When it becomes not fun, when I see a dwarf waddle into my front door and I go,
it's always good.
Then I'll know it's time to hang up the podcast mics, you know. But every time it's yay.
Like, are you a little bit?
And he comes
were you
in
a little bit
like,
jealous when your best friend got married? Was it tough for you to give up some of that time?
Wait, like Love Actually style? Like I had a crush on Jazz? No, I was pumped for him. I mean, just because, you know, you're like, how many swinger situations can this guy be in before he finds true love? You know,
true.
So I.
That's
you know.
Where you go to find true love.
Yeah.
And he won't live very long, so let's let him be happy.
Oh my God!
No, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Now he'll actually, you know, he's. I know dwarves for a fact have figured out the mortality portion. Potion, and he's going to
Brad will be fine.
He'll probably live till 260.
How was your, since we haven't seen you since the holidays.
Yeah.
How were your holidays? How was your New Year's Eve? How was all that?
Holidays were great. New Year's was good. On stage doing a New Year's show. And I don't know if you've been on stage for a New Year's show when you have nobody to kiss. And the comedy club owner's like, you got to be on stage.
That's sad.
Yeah, the other two comics had were couples, and so they had their significant others.
And you do the countdown from stage?
Yeah, and he was like, and he's like, hey, so I want you to be up there with the other comedians at the countdown. I go, yeah, but I got nobody to kiss. And he goes, it'll be great. You can just kiss your hand. I go, I probably will. That'll be super sad. And so I go out there, and it's like such a panicky, you know, 12-second countdown of just vulnerability where you're like, you're counting down being like, all right, what are my options here?
Any female from the audience, come on up.
Yeah, I mean, that was the first option. And then it was also like, maybe kiss my hand and make a joke out of it, or maybe like look down the audience and like cheer people on and like, yeah, use more tongue, man. And or do like a weird robot dance.
I feel like you probably had all these thoughts in about 2-3 seconds.
Is that you have no time to figure out a move to not look super lonely and depressive. And then maybe I was like, maybe I can fist pump, because then people will be like, well, there's no way he can kiss because his hands, he needs them to pump the air. You know, the air needs to get pumped. And
I hope you didn't settle on that one.
Well, I did a combo of all five where it was like robot, fist pump, kiss my hand, and then I ended up finding an older gal in the audience and giving her a smooch.
How old?
That's a personal question.
Come on now.
Like grandma?
I'm going to say, I didn't ask her. That would have been hot. That's what she sounded like.
Like 85, 86?
I think we're going to go higher.
Smell like mothballs?
Mothballs, prune juice, hip replacements, vibrators. No, she was probably 92, I'm going to say. If I were to... You guys can play that sound clip. That's awesome.
Sure.
Yeah, because I because I guess she's just moaning. She's not. Yeah, you don't know.
Right.
She could be. She could have just won Uno right there.
Exactly. That would have been my.
How do you know that she doesn't get real fired up?
Exactly.
For having one card left. I made you draw four. Now what color are you gonna pick? Blue, green. The choice is yours. It also sounds like an old school like soda commercial. Like if A Plus Soda or Mr. Pibb had this, like a hot girl just being like, Mr. Pibb. And then the guy comes on and goes, have you had a Pibb lately? And everyone's like, ugh, stop saying it like that.
Adam, your stage show, I know you're very musical singer.
Yeah, yeah.
You are doing more music in the stage show, right?
Yeah, so when I headline now, I bring a buddy, Avery Pearson, who's like me, has a big musical theater background. And we started messing around late night at the Comedy Store. I was going on super late, and I was just like, people have seen so much stand-up, I don't want to just do that. Also, there's only 15 people here, and they have been here since the start. And so we started just kind of messing around and improvising, and we're like, oh, that was really fun. We should do it again. We were actually listening really well and harmonizing these random songs off the crowd. And so now I bring them on the road with me, and so I'll do my hour of stand-up, and then we'll do about 20, 25 minutes of improvised musical crowd work. And we have a couple set songs we'll do here and there, but it's...
You two are so in sync. It's amazing.
You saw it?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, it's amazing.
Adam is in sync?
What?
Just go.
Chip just told Bean to get out.
Were you just looking to make an NSYNC reference before noon today?
Yes, he was. He does every day.
I wish I was NSYNC. You know, it's so funny.
Fun.
In a middle school dance, a buddy of mine, Chris DeLeon, we memorized the choreography to Bye 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 that when they played it at the dance, we could do it to impress girls.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Oh, no.
Fun fact
and
about
you did it?
Me. Uh-huh. Yeah, we did it.
And
none of no girl was like, here, play that sound effect again. No,
but
girl did.
You did grow up to become
nobody
friends with new kids on the block, though.
Our gay friend David did that. Because he was like, I did not expect you guys to dance like that. But no girl was into it. But yeah, so we do, the music stuff is awesome because it's different every night. And I mean, you saw it's like those people in the crowd, like
so funny.
And even when people don't want to participate, which nobody ever. It's when I'm singing to get. So a lot of times I'll set up crowd work in the show during the hour of stand up, and then we'll go back to those people for song stuff, and it makes it even better because I'll have
That's
had
funny.
Some rapport and it's always different. And you know, it's just gotten really tight because we have been doing it now over a year, and we just listen to each other. It's like anything, you know, the give and take is there. We don't even have to look at each other to be like, all right, now let's do this. It just kind of happens. And
what a beautiful relationship.
It is, yeah.
Let's remind you again, Levity Live in Oxnard. 6 shows, Adam Ray, doing the comedy, doing the music. That's tonight, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Tickets available, adamraycomedy.com, only $20. Now, this would be people's last chance to kind of see you for a while because you're getting ready to leave the country, right?
Yeah, I'm going
to
go. Oprah and I are going on her presidential early campaign. Yeah, I wish. Wouldn't that be great? No, I'm going to Australia and Japan with Adam Devine to do stand-up. So we're doing all the theaters in Australia, Sydney Opera House. Whatever the theaters are in Perth and Melbourne.
That's cool.
And then army bases in Japan. Yeah, never been. Have you guys?
Had a charmed life, my friend.
That sounds amazing. Awesome.
So people have told me eat the food in Japan and don't see kangaroos in Australia. I've gotten four don't see kangaroos because of how
they'll punch you.
Yeah, of how unexpectedly violent they are. And I'm like, well, maybe that's what I want.
That's a reason
to go. Maybe that's what I want my story to be.
Right?
You know, he thought he could take down a roo. And they're like, well, why do you think that? I don't know. But he did.
That's other people telling your story.
Yeah.
Because you're dead.
I mean, that's what I always think about that, too. Like, what because you've seen that video of the guy fighting the kangaroo, right?
Sure.
When I had his dog in a headlock. And I was thinking, like, what would I do? Same thing, like, the guy who got his face eaten by the guy on bath salts in Florida. It's like, what would you do? Like, would you fight him off and be like, stop eating me? Or would you just lay there and take it and be like, this is how I want people to talk about me in a heroic manner? Like,
no,
that's not
Adam.
A what?
No, he went out there with a super chewable face. He didn't want no face food guard.
Can I give you the answer to that?
Just brave the elements.
Go ahead and fight back.
Yeah, I guess.
That's the way to go.
Chewable face.
So if I – my mom always told me I had a chewable face. That's not
have
true.
Have a great trip. And,
thank you.
Come right, back
on,
or not.
Hold on. Before we go, we have 60 seconds with Adam Ray.
Are you going to play the sound
effect? Oh, do we? Fantastic.
Heck yeah.
60 seconds. It's a speed round. Just whatever comes to your mind, all right?
Only if it ends with that sound effect it of might. The 92-year-old woman.
It might. What were you like in high school?
Fun.
What's the last thing you watched on TV?
Chop Jr.
Would you rather hang out with a guy named Rob or a guy named Chuck?
Chuck, always. He was the bus driver on the Adam Devine tour.
Why didn't the Seahawks just give it to Marshawn?
Move on. Jeez, let's talk about my parents' divorce next.
What's your spirit animal?
Morgan Freeman.
What's the most embarrassing thing people don't know about you?
Oh, I once tried to pick what I thought was a scab off my 8th grade girlfriend, and it was her mole.
Oh, my God. Why did you vote for President Trump?
What?
Why did you vote for President Trump?
Oh, because he's a big, stupid, dumb, I hate him.
Instead of throwing it, why didn't the Seahawks run it?
Oh, man. Dad, Mom still loves you. No, I don't know. Pete Carroll made a... I don't know. Russell should have audibled. Are you trying to make me cry?
What song makes you shake that ass?
Chumbawamba's Tub Thumping.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to make you cry. Yeah.
Wow. Was that three Hawks? Why didn't they?
I mean, it was.
You know what? So it's, yeah, I mean.
Because
that,
really.
That is the, I tried to actually watch that highlight the other day.
Why
it
would
was,
you do that?
I don't know. I thought
it's
it was,
a Seahawks,
I hadn't,
man.
No joke, watched it since it
of
happened.
Of course not. Oh,
and it's so crazy to say that you wouldn't even, that you would consciously not do that, but it's that painful. And literally, as soon as I watched it, like a good 3-4 hour chunk of my day was lost. I was just
I
like,
have it
Cheerios.
On a loop in my house, just projected on a wall. Oh, it is good.
Adam, you're not lying. So I still literally have nightmares about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Literally. I wake up and that's what I'm thinking about.
So that 60 seconds was traumatic for you as well, Bean?
Yes, it was. It was very painful.
Wow.
Bad.
For the
man.
Seahawks fans in Hawaii that saw that missile alert, if you had played the Seahawk that like clip, they would have been like, missile what? Like, I'm still thinking about Lynch not running it in.
Adam Ray, tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, all at the Oxnard, the Levity Alive in Oxnard.
There's a Panera up there. It's a lot of fun.
Sounds fun.
Get some broccoli cheddar. Come by the show.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Bye now. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56. Just after 9, we're going to talk to Dr. Drew about stupid people being stupid. It's unbelievable.
I think you're going to be surprised. I'm betting that Dr. Drew will be okay with kids eating Tide Pods. I think he's going to find that all right.
I'd like to put some money on that, if you don't mind.
Coming up just after 9. First, though, 8:56 Thursday morning. What's happening, Allie?
Well, we all fell in love with David Harbour when Stranger Things first came out. He plays Chief Hopper. He's so wonderful on that show. Then he came on our show to promote it, and he was just a
even
delight.
Better in person. Yeah.
He was just so wonderful. Well, he is killing it on Twitter. I don't know if you were aware, last October, a student from up in Fresno had tweeted, "What's it going to take for you to come take my senior photos with me?" And he responded, 25,000 retweets, and I get to wear the school sweatshirt and hold a trombone. Long story short, it happened. He took the pictures. Unbelievable. Just so cool. Well, Erica, did not want to be outdone. So she tweeted, "What's it going to take for you to be the officiant at my wedding in September?" And instead of just avoiding it, he responds, 125,000 retweets. "Provided the date works with season 3's shooting schedule, I'll get ordained and perform the ceremony. I get to read an esteemed love letter of my choosing, and after the cake is officially cut, I get the first piece." So
that's awesome.
Not even 24 hours, she achieves the 125,000 retweets. So he tweets, "Damn it, not even 24 hours. You're kidding me." And then he says, "Erica, DM me. We'll get the ball rolling. I'm making it seriously hard next time, Internet. This is not over between us." So I feel like we need to be like, "David, what's it going to take to donate your kidney?" Like something that he'll just be like, 8 million retweets. And then we get it, and we get his kidney.
And then what do we do with the kidney?
Put it in a jar.
Okay.
That's Chief Hopper's. That's, just look at it.
That seems like a good use of it.
Or we can give it to Bean. Too soon?
I got room.
You guys. When Matt Lauer was let go about, what, a month and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people wondered, those Olympics are coming up.
He did host the Olympics for a long time.
What's going to be happening there? Well, Variety reports that Katie Couric will co-host the opening ceremonies from South Korea with NBC Sports' Mike Tirico. He's taking over for Bob Costas. So I'm kind of bummed, A, that we won't see any pink eye.
Right.
And I'm kind of bummed that Katie is just sliding in there. I love her.
Okay,
but well, I feel like it's Bob's, Mike Tirico's first time. She deserves better.
Oh, so you're upset that she doesn't have a better partner?
A little bit.
Oh, I see.
A little bit. Anyone?
I think Mike Tirico is a pro and is going to be, he's going to research it and he's going to do great.
Have you paid your dues for the fan club?
No, I'm serious. I mean, why wouldn't
he's
he?
Gonna he's going to do great.
I think he'll research it. And I think he'll do great.
I think he will.
I agree. Okay,
although,
you turned me.
I'm nervous about, you know, Bob Costas has always had so many fun facts at his fingertips, things I didn't know.
And the Central African Republic is made up of more than 80 ethnic groups, and they each have their own language, which I'm guessing makes subtitles of the movies a major undertaking.
Right? I mean, where else are you going to get that kind of entertainment?
Bean loves it.
He does.
Oh, that's good. Some sad news for people that watch Amazon shows. 3 cancellations. Tig Notaro's One Mississippi that Bean loves. Jill Soloway's I Love Dick, which we all love. And Jean-Claude Van Damme's Jean-Claude Van Johnson. What?
I don't even
How
know
was that,
show.
That a,
what, Not sure.
But upside, they have renewed The Tick for a second season. So that is good news. Some birthdays for you. Corn singer Jonathan Davis. Still got it. And actors Jason Segel and Kevin Costner, and one of the best comics out there, Dave Attell. And that's what's happening.
Less than 10 minutes from right now, we'll give away some tickets to Queens of the Stone Age. They're playing the Forum on February the 17th, and you qualify to see them for an amazing festival where they are just one of many great rock bands at Boston Calling in Boston, of all places.
Oh.
So that is coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. All right, this time every week we catch our really good friend, Dr. Drew Pinsky, drdrew.com. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you guys? Well, I was great until I went to the zoo last week, and I've had the flu ever since.
Oh, no.
No.
Yeah. There's
By the way,
birthday
Dr.
party,
Drew.
Adult male at a birthday party at the zoo. So.
Yeah, the King of Mexico had that party there, and you got sick. Drew was complaining as soon as he walked in, by the way. Oh, well, so many kids around here, they're all sick.
Kevin.
I didn't get sick.
You weren't complaining?
No.
Oh, okay.
Dr. Drew, I know we're talking about something else, and I know that we have discussed this year's flu outbreak with you previously on the show, but the reports are now terrifying.
Yeah, sure.
How many kids are dying from this flu, and adults as well. That 40-year-old woman from California who runs marathons just died of the flu this week. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it is exuberant, and as I can, as a sufferer, I can tell you, it's uncanny how brutal it is. It really is, and the theory is, like, someone like myself who's had the flu vaccine, the reason it was not sort of fulminant and the reason it's just kind of lingering is probably the vaccine had some efficacy against some of it for some of us, but there are even those that even broke through the vaccine, as we discussed last time. But if you were not vaccinated, and by the way, you can still get vaccinated. I mean, it's not optimal, but I would still advise it. If you were not vaccinated, you are fully exposed to this thing, and it is a brutal illness.
I saw school systems all over the country that are just having to close down because literally hundreds of the kids that go to that school have the flu.
Yeah, yeah. And this is what viruses are. They come in. I think we're peaking right about now. I was talking to some peers of mine yesterday, and we were all feeling like, yeah, I think this is about the peak. Now, it can peak again. There can be a second wave, but right now this particular wave is peaking.
Well, be careful with the flu, you guys. And also be careful with eating your Tide Pods. Now, Drew, you've been doing your job and talking to kids for decades. There's always something stupid that kids are doing. But help me wrap my head around how anybody would think it's a good idea to eat a Tide Pod.
Let's describe what they're doing. You know those little colorful little sort of plastic-encoded packets.
Detergent packets.
Yeah, we throw them in our dishwasher now, and now they're available for clothing washing machines as well. And kids got a great idea, like, hey, I'll put that in my mouth. It looks so yummy. It looks so good. It must be good. And then let's film myself, and then let's put it out on social media. And the real ingredient that's putting the fire behind this is the social media. It's showing the power of, frankly, the insanity of social media and virality, that if something is provocative, people will do it, no matter what. And the fear is here, these things can break in your mouth, they can burn the hell out of your mouth. I was fearful they were swallowing them, in which you could die very easily, very quickly, and you would need to go to the hospital almost immediately. But it's not different than a lot of the other stupid behaviors you see on social media that people mimic.
I mean, it does seem a little more deadly than most.
Not potentially so. I mean, it's more going to maim you, you know, if it breaks in your mouth. But think about all the parkour and the building climbing and the things that people do to sure. sort of distinguish themselves on social media. And there's a weird sort of piece of this too that people don't talk about, which is you know the whole phenomenon of Jackass.
Yes,
right?
Sure.
Well, there's a theory that men do things horrible to themselves. They put themselves in situations that are essentially deadly to prove their genetic fitness. In other words,
yeah,
look how I can make it through this. I'm fit. Be attracted to me. Crazy.
That is.
Allie let a big sigh out. You're not attracted to those guys? Now, come on.
Let's just call it what it is. This is Darwinism. Let's thin the herd. Let's not warn people not to eat Tide Pods. Let's let them eat Tide Pods because you know what? You're an idiot. And you will not be anything but an idiot for the rest of your goddamn life.
Allie the 16th. Let them eat Tide Pods.
Right. I'm saying.
By the way, the first 15 days of 2018, so January 1st through January 15th, 39 cases of people across the country intentionally putting a Tide Pod in their mouth. This isn't like one dude. I mean, that's 40 people.
Yeah, I would argue it's way more than that. If you look at social media, it's happening a lot. And I think the feeling is, oh, no big deal. I can go through it. Look at all these guys doing that. If you start hanging out with Mike Catherwood, no doubt he'll do that.
Right.
No doubt he'll do that. Mm-hmm. But again, for me, the more sinister story here is not so much the Tide Pods, but the impact of social media mm-hmm. and how it can sort of distort the behavior of young people particularly. And a friend of mine runs a website called Digital Citizens Academy where all she does is worry about all the horrible things that happen to young people because of social media, whether it's suicide packs or Tide packs, whatever it is, there's a lot of power of social media that induces horrible behaviors.
Well, because people walk around, am I wrong about this, Dr. Drew? A lot of young people in particular walk around and their whole currency in their mind is how popular they are, how many likes they get, how many yeah. looks they get, right. and they think, oh, this may not be a good idea, but I bet it'll be popular, so they do it.
Right, and some of the people, I've met some of the kids they admire, you know, some of the social media stars, they're not the healthiest people.
No.
They are not. Producer Dave told me that they made the 13 kids being held captive in Paris do the Tide Challenge. He did.
Really? No.
No. Jesus.
I don't know what Dave's saying, man. I'm telling
that
you,
was
Dave.
Horrifying. Like, they didn't suffer enough.
Dave gives us false information every single day, so it's tough to tell.
He's just trying to see if we're paying attention. All right. DrDrew.com is where you want to go for all of Good Doctor's live appearances and a full lineup of podcasts, including the Dr. Drew podcast, the Adam and Drew podcast, and, of course, Weekly Infusion. Look for Dr. Drew Midday Live with Mike Cather with Monday through Friday, noon to 3 on 790 KABC. And don't forget, you can see a doctor now in the comfort of your own home. Download the Heal app on App Store or Google Play. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 937.
That means it's time for What's Happening. Here's Allie.
Babies are what's happening, you guys.
Babies.
Yeah. Enrique Iglesias and his partner, Anna Kournikova, the Russian ex-tennis star, have shared their first adorable photos of their twins. And that indeed was the headline on Yahoo. Enrique Iglesias and Anna Kournikova just shared the first adorable photos of their twins. However, the picture was not Anna Kournikova. It was Anna Kendrick.
No.
To which she said, "Dear Yahoo."
That's awesome.
"How do I get to this timeline where I've slept with Enrique Iglesias? Please and thank you."
That is funny.
She is a delight. And then she goes on to say, "I believe it was probably the A and the K. They got confused. Two famous people.
Sure.
Similar names, whatnot. But I mean, I've been accused of worse things than having twins with Enrique Iglesias." Right?
We broadcast from Miami one year, many years ago, probably for an MTV event.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the opportunity to interview Anna Kournikova. And I figured I had a chance with her, you know, because...
Oh.
I mean, she would meet me.
Hold on. Let's just let that sink in.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying, meets me, you know, she's going to want to break off a piece of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do you remember this, Kevin?
What?
You know where the story is? So we went on the air and we said, "Look, I really want to make a great first impression. I need some help here from our listeners." And we had listeners call in and teach me some great pickup lines in Russian.
Uh-oh.
Because I thought, how memorable is that? People talk to Anna Kournikova all the time. How many people are going to come up to her in Florida and start speaking Russian to her?
Oh, no.
So so we got a line. We decided on one. I don't remember what it was.
It was a guarantee, though, at that point.
It was a guarantee at that point. I mean, I am walking in fully loaded. I mean, there's no way to miss,
gross.
Right? Not like that. I'm just saying, I've got a plan, and it's going to work. So I get the opportunity to walk up to Miss Anna Kournikova, and I lay the Russian line on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked like a statue. Like, she didn't move.
Yeah.
There was no...
Uh-huh.
There was no
body language.
There was no courtesy laugh. Mm-hmm. There was no, ha-ha, nice to meet you. Nothing. It was just... She just stood there like I had pooped in front of her.
Do you know if you possibly said something awful in Russian?
Yeah, maybe, and you didn't say it right.
You mean, or maybe one of our listeners was setting us up and telling us the Russian meant something else?
Yes.
Like, maybe I brought shame on her family or something?
Yeah.
I actually don't know. It's possible that happened, but the look on her face suggested that maybe that was it.
That's the look on most women's face when they...
That is actually accurate, yes.
Mm-hmm. So that was it? You just gave up?
Well, needless to say, it didn't work out between us.
Okay.
I doubt I'll have another opportunity, but I gave it a shot, right?
You shot your shot.
Exactly, yes. I mean,
seize the day, right?
That's what we're saying.
Enrique Iglesias, I mean, she has a type.
Sure.
The only thing you have in common with him is you try and catch a drone with your bare hands, too. That's it. Oh, I respect it. You guys, I'm really nervous about the Jersey Shore reunion.
Uh-oh.
We might be situationless.
Oh, don't say that.
He might be in jail, you guys. Yeah.
Do say that.
Yes. Apparently, him and his brother Mark are set to plead guilty to charges of tax fraud tomorrow. They're facing federal income tax fraud. They haven't paid tax on $8.9 million of income earned between 2010 and 2012. Let that, just drink that number in.
They made $9 million in 2 years?
Yep. And
how much in tax is that?
I don't know.
Probably about half.
But yeah, that's federal income tax that they haven't paid. They're also charged with inflating business expenses and depositing cash into multiple bank accounts to avoid reporting deposits to the IRS.
I don't know what I was... I must have... I don't even know. Who knows, dog? don't even know what the I was thinking.
Right?
Right. He could be in jail for 15 years.
Just in case you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation, and you may not like that situation.
That is great advice. I will miss him if he's in jail.
Will he be popular in jail?
He's a douchebag, so probably not.
Yeah.
You're good in avoiding situations, and you're situated, and I'm situated. Situation's under control.
If you like RuPaul's Drag Race, how about a movie? A comedy, if you will, brought to you by the same people that produce RuPaul's Drag Race. Variety is reporting that the film called Drag Queens on a Plane would star RuPaul as the diva behind the brand new Glamazonian Airways and their maiden flight packed with drag's finest. Yeah. Who's with me?
I'm not saying it's not going to be fun. Mm-hmm. I'm saying it's not for me.
That depends a lot on the writing of that movie.
Sure. Sure.
It's not for me.
You guys, breaking news. Oh. It turns out that it pays to be super hot on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Should we try that?
I mean, I don't know if we can.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it's just it's up to genetics.
I see. Okay.
But Candace Swanepoel.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She has just landed the prestigious title of most influential lingerie model on Instagram. Who knew that was a thing? But apparently it is. How much do you think she could pocket for just one posting? Keep in mind she's got almost 12 million followers.
So she's an influencer who says, sure, I'm enjoying this Diet Pepsi, and then she gets paid by, okay.
Exactly. This tummy tea sure does keep me in great shape.
I'm going to say that each post that she does is worth $100,000.
Wow.
Kevin?
Is that too crazy?
I was thinking 50.
Well, right in the middle, $70,000 per post.
Wow. That's something.
Whoa. What? Seriously. We should all come back as hot Instagram models.
How do we make that happen?
Not sure. I'm going to look into it.
Would you give us the answer tomorrow?
Keep you posted.
Okay,
yes. Will Ferrell's the best.
Yes.
This we know. This one down at the Australian Open. John McEnroe is on court with Roger Federer, and then he introduces a special guest, and it's Will. And Will channels his inner anchorman, and he asks all the tough questions.
It's great to be here with two tennis legends. Roger Federer and John McIntosh. Roger, tonight you seemed like a gazelle out there on the court. Would you describe your game as a silky gazelle?
Maybe not. A gazelle. Don't they get eaten at the end?
Not if they're fast enough. Quick question, Roger. You're 36 years old. You seem ageless. Are you a witch or a vampire?
Which one's better?
Yeah, exactly. I don't like those.
Probably a vampire. Now, there's a rumor in the men's locker room that you love coming to play down here in Melbourne, and your secret to fitness is you only eat wombat meat. Is that true?
That is untrue.
Have you ever tasted...
I have not. Should I?
It is delicious. The national food of Australia. Roger, I know how much this crowd means to you. They're an amazing crowd. But does it get annoying when they just scream, "Come on, Roger!" "Come on, Roger!" over and over again?
They remind me of my name. It's good. I'm at an older age, if you start forgetting your own name sometimes. It's great.
He just makes everything better.
He just shows up at such random places. When I was I got to go to the World Cup in Brazil. Mm-hmm. There was a U.S. soccer party, and he was there, like, whipping everybody into a frenzy. I was like, what's Will Ferrell doing
Seriously?
Here?
Seriously.
And I don't know if you've seen him on the new Marshmallow video, where he takes off the marshmallow head, and it's him. And he's
Marshmallow?
Yes.
He's the DJ Marshmallow.
I mean, he was for this particular... Yeah.
Oh.
It was just like a promo for his tour.
Yeah.
He's not actually Marshmallow.
Or
but
is
he took off the head, and there's Will Ferrell. I don't know how you get him or where he shows up.
Seriously.
You never can predict.
Yeah. That's a gift.
It really is.
It really is. All right, some birthdays for you. Some actors: Dave Bautista, Jason Segel, Kevin Costner, Korn singer Jonathan Davis. Never sounded better. And one of the funniest men alive, comedian Dave Attell. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie. SoCal Help. Tomorrow morning, it's Friday, so we keep it 100. We've also got Bean Makes Us Guess, RJ Bell in Las Vegas to talk NFL playoffs. And our friend Rob Corddry joins us as well tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.